better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Actions speak louder than words. Always have, always will. This is applicable to any part of life, regardless if it's social, political, sports, whatever. Actions always speak louder than words. And there was a picture that was put out on social media of Sam Pittman at the protest in Fayetteville recently. And he hasn't put out a statement yet, to my knowledge. He hasn't, Arkansas football hasn't, to kind of what he's saying and stuff, but he has mentioned what's going on to his players right now. And I've always held that belief. I've been taught that by my dad, been taught that by so many other people, that what you do in person means so much more than what you do on social media or what you say. How you go about your business is vastly more important than just putting a statement out there. And so we saw that from Sam Pittman. We have a lot to unload and unpack from the head football coach at the University of Arkansas yesterday. Met with the media at 1:30, and we will dive into that on this morning on a Recruiting Thursday, which is brought to you by Bree Narvi. And Bree Narvi, if you head over right now, and see Ransom, they got deals. The annual trade-up event is going on through June 30th. You can trade up and get up to $5,000 on NAADA trade-in value. You can trade up and take advantage of rock-bottom prices on all new and used travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Trade up and get free maintenance for life on everything new. Free maintenance for life on everything new. They can also take care of your service needs on all makes and models. Go to BreenRV.com and then go see Ransom in the game at BreenRV between Van Buren and Alma on Alma Highway. BreenRV, where adventures begin. So a lot of talk about with Sam Pittman, Tommy, but that's where we really need to start, because he got a bunch of questions that were asked about that yesterday.
Well, obviously that's the conversation of the day in nearly every corner of the country and in here at home, when one of the more high-profile leaders in your state, and I think the head football coach at Arkansas falls onto that list, puts himself in a visual, trying to get the right words here, puts himself in a high, in, well, that ain't the right, puts himself in a position to do something rather than say something. Maybe that's better. I think it sets an example for a lot of other people. I think we all follow the cue of our coaches and leaders on a lot of things, or look up to and notice what they do and form opinions. He's someone, this is a better way of putting what I'm trying to say here, he's someone that's in a position that their actions help form our own opinions and the way we move forward on certain topics and conversations or beliefs or whatever it is. Generally, they're not as important as what we're talking about here in recent times. But you talk about someone being in a spot of change and influence, that's the head football coach at the University of Arkansas. In this state, you have that power. You have that ability to influence the hearts and minds of many fans around the state. And if Sam Pittman is visually present at an event like he was the other night, at a peaceful protest, I think for some that's going to make it more, they're going to be more willing to get involved and do something. And you're right, actions do speak louder than words.
And right out of the gate, he was asked about this, got asked about it multiple times about racial inequality, and here's what he said right out of the gate.
Well, we certainly addressed our team, and those conversations are between myself and our football team, but we certainly have spoke about it for the last week or whenever, however long ago it was, when it started, and we talk about it daily.
So that's a thing that he's not going to release publicly, what he said to the team, and we mentioned this yesterday, that it, like with Sam Pittman, and we had mentioned that his, like, even before he said action speaks louder than words, the fact that you've had so many players, particularly African American players, that have come and really wanted to be head football coach and really relate to them. You have mothers of the two players drafted, Isaiah Wilson and I think it's Andrew Thomas, that were so happy, and they were like crying in tears, thank you so much, coach, blah blah blah. And so there's going to be coaches, obviously, that have really statements, stuff that say stuff privately. But the whole idea, the whole concept of this is that however you're going about it, you make sure it, whether your statement's private or public, you get it right.
Yeah. And I think that's why you have to measure your words right now. You have to make sure that you put thoughtful consideration into your words. And when you don't right now, it, you know, it can be a problem. I think the one thing with Sam Pittman is everybody knows he cares. So
yeah, and it's one of those things where we've had to be more calculated on this radio show the last couple of days more than ever, because we don't want to have something that comes out of our mouth that is perceived as something that shouldn't be perceived as. Like, I've had to definitely, in terms of how I'm saying things, prep more than I've ever had. Here's what he said about the protest. He's at a peaceful protest up there in Northwest Arkansas on Tuesday. Here's what he had to say about it. Went with the staff, went with some players, and just everything that went on.
The protest was powerful. I'm glad I had an opportunity to go down there. A lot of the kids on the team were there as well. We had asked them not to be there late. We certainly were not in any shape or form asking them not to go down there, because I wanted to go down there. The protests had gotten dangerous at some points in some places once the sun went down, you know, once it got darker, once the protests were later. And so we just asked our team that if they could and they felt good about it, that we'd like for them to leave before sunset. And they did. And it was very powerful. I was very honored to be a part of it. And I was glad I was able to go down there along with others on our coaching staff and our football team.
So smart on his part, because some of the writing, some of the non-protests that have gone out of hand to this point have occurred more in the later hours of the night. And it's kind of like your dad or your grandpa or whoever used to say, nothing good happens after so-and-so o'clock. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of peaceful protests that have gone on in this country, but there's also been some things that have gotten out of hand, destruction of property, looting businesses and stuff like that. Luckily, there hasn't been a ton of that in Arkansas, but smart on his part to be like, guys, and he didn't say adamantly, you can't be out here, but he's like, I think it's a good idea if you guys came home at a certain hour.
As he's accurately said, not necessarily in Arkansas, but in other parts of the country, these protests have turned violent, not just with destruction of property, but people getting hurt. Sometimes you get caught up in a mob mentality. And the last thing you want is something harmful to happen to one of your players that you've given your word to the parents of those players. I'm going to look out for them. I'm going to take care of them. And even though they haven't resumed operations, if you will, till next week, you know, with workouts, but they have been meeting. They have been staying connected. I mean, these are people he cares about. Would you want your kids there at an hour where they could get harmed?
I don't think anybody, regardless of race, exactly, would want them there.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're your kids.
He's speaking as though he's a parent there, and that's exactly what you want. That's the hat you want your coach to have on in that situation. He's looking out for him like a parent.
And the last thing he had to say is, why did he go down? Here were his thoughts on that.
What made me go, I think you asked, because I felt like I needed to go. I felt like in my heart I wanted to go. I wanted to support our football team. I wanted to support the protest, and that's what I believe in. You know, I think you can tweet about stuff. You can do a lot of things. You can take a picture for somebody to show. You can do whatever you want, but actions are strong. I felt like, for me, the best way for me to address the situation was to go be a part of what could be a solution.
I think there's a lot of people that put out that little black box on social media of Blackout Tuesday that haven't done anything prior to this point. It seems like Sam Pittman doesn't want to be stuck in that category where he's reserved as, hey, I'm just doing this because I was told to.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So Sam Pittman was asked about just kind of the rules that they have to follow in accordance to guidelines with the SEC and how the players have to go about that. Here's what he had to say.
As of right now, we're not allowed to watch them do anything, not only throwing and catching, but in the weight room as a coach. Now, the strength coaches, obviously, they need to be there for safety reasons and to teach them how to lift correctly. But right now, we're having no access with them whatsoever for the month of June as it is now.
Tommy, I don't know if you caught it yesterday, but at the very end, I asked Kyle, related to me, KP, the SID, head SID, and I asked him, Coach, do you think are you worried about potentially other coaches in the SEC not following those guidelines? Not following, he's just like, no. But like that's the politically correct answer. That's the SEC coaches, like, whatever answer you have to give. But we were joking about this yesterday. If you think every SEC coach is going to follow this down to the letter, I can't get on board with that.
But also think about it. In today's time, in today's social media world, it'd be very difficult to keep all that quiet. I mean, they may be having a meeting or maybe be doing some things that stretch beyond the time limits of that. Maybe they're having a walkthrough in an indoor or something to go over some things. But I'm not really worried about even Saban having full-blown practice or something.
That's not what I'm worried about. But is it fair to say?
Well, maybe some of them maybe toe the line a little bit. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that Arkansas needs just as much, if not more, than an advantage than every team in the SEC, based on where their program is in their current state right now?
You got a deeper hole to dig out of, yes.
Okay, so I would think that any advantage that another team, the SEC, takes advantage of, that would hurt Arkansas even more. And like you, I'm not insinuating that Nick Saban is going to bring those guys out to Bryant Diddy or their practice facility and have a full-blown practice. I'm just under the impression.
Probably already are.
Because it happens in recruiting. Because if this wasn't an issue, then recruiting violations wouldn't happen. But those happen. So I'm under the impression that, especially since these guys haven't been around their players or anything like that for quite some time, that they're just not going to be able to follow these rules down to the letter. Now, like you said, it might be toed in line. It might be just crossing over. But lines are going to be crossed. Regardless if you think that or not, lines are going to be crossed.
I just want my coaches and my school to go right up to the line and look over the edge. You know, don't do anything to get us in trouble, but, you know, go right to the edge. Look over the edge of the Grand Canyon and see what's down there.
And if you are
lean on the railing a little bit.
And if you are going over the edge, win a national championship. Don't
grab the natty on your way down.
That's what's so funny when you hear about recruiting violations or NCAA violations with programs that either didn't make a bowl or didn't do anything, and you're just like, so they cheated for this?
See,
for that?
See Ole Miss for a great example.
Yeah, like
they cheated for all those Kim Dacey brothers. Was that? I'm not saying their name right.
Kim Dicci. Robert Kim Dicci, and
they cheated for that group, and still didn't win the division. Still, I mean, had a nice season. Had a nice season. But,
blame Arkansas for that.
But Hunter Henry.
Yep, Hunter Henry Heath. So, and since now they're going to get back on camp, what's the interaction going to be like? How much is Sam Pittman going to have that? Unfortunately, it's not going to be much at all. Here's what he had to say about the interaction between him and his players.
I'd be lying to you if I knew how much interaction we're going to get to have with them. You know, we still have issues of getting in the building, and there's one entrance to the building, and the bottom line is that entrance is not over here by my door, and we're not able to go into the weight room. So we're going to have a lot of feedback from our strength coaches and all that. But the greatest thing is to know exactly where they are, that they're here, and that they're being able to get in conditioning. And obviously we'll continue our Zoom meetings with them, but it's sure going to feel more like a football team and things of that nature of getting them here on campus. I'm excited to get them back.
Sam,
so clear me up on this, because you may know more than I do on this.
That's a dangerous assumption.
I don't believe they could bring a position group in. Not a team meeting, but just say you want to bring in all your offensive linemen to the film room. Follow social distancing, keep everybody 6 feet apart. Could the coach get in front of the room and start talking? You can't have that now. And that's, to me, what makes no sense is, all right, if you can follow, you've missed spring practice. Maybe they're going to give you the last half of July for more than that. But why? Okay, we're not going to have a football and helmets on and go out on the field, but why couldn't the linemen, or if you have a big enough facility, take the auditorium somewhere there on campus, and we could at least mentally walk through some installs and some things that, you know, particularly a program like Arkansas needs right now. That seems to make common sense from the outside looking in, but they cannot even do that right now. Is have a, I know they can have 8 hours a week and they can go through things on Zoom, but I don't think they could have an in-person meeting to go over the things they can go over on Zoom.
That is my take, or that's what I'm under the impression of. Tom Murphy probably would be the better person to ask, and we'll speak to Tom Murphy coming up at 7:15. Also going to have Chris Crutchfield come on at 8 o'clock this morning.
So if you're Kendall Briles, wouldn't you like to at least be able to do that? Get the film projector down. Let's lower the screen. Let's everybody stay awake here. We're going to talk about some principles and terminology and language of this offense, and at least get some of the learning curve flattened out,
which to this point it hasn't been.
So none, zero.
It's a dangerous It's a dangerous game if you're Kendall Briles, so, and then Barry Odom as well, too, specifically the coordinators up there on the hill.
Say the rules and regulations make it even more difficult for a program like Arkansas, but the same boat for Ole Miss, Mississippi State. I mean, Leach's offense is very intricate, a lot of details in it. Imagine they're in the same boat here too. I mean, Arkansas's not alone in this. It's just You're in the boat with a hole in it right now compared to everybody else in football that doesn't have the transition.
Yeah, it's a difficult aspect.
They can have 8 hours a week of meetings, but I'm just not sure what all they can do in those meetings.
Well, it's just like the Zoom press conference that we had yesterday. It wasn't as my takeaway is, and I think older Arkansas media members will agree with me, that it's just not as solid when you do these these Zoom press conferences rather than in person. And again, Tommy and I have talked about this. You don't get as much out of doing these virtual meetings, these virtual teleconferences, than you do in person. If you translate that to football, it's the exact same thing. Players are not going to get the exact same amount of comprehension that they would in person when it comes to just the coaches and everything.
Particularly when it gets beyond one-on-one or three people in a meeting. I can get a little more done in a Zoom meeting right now, one-on-one with someone within our company.
Which we get to do with their, whatever their coach
position
is.
Position coach. But, you know, just like here, we have a big staff meeting on Mondays with everybody on Zoom. There's a little less interaction, a little less back and forth, because not everybody can talk at once. I have another meeting with other folks throughout the way. I'm just meeting one-on-one, and it's on Zoom. And we get more done in those meetings because you can have a little more interaction back and forth. Everybody can contribute better in those sets. So can you imagine having 15 or 20 people? I mean, you have some buddies. Y'all meet on Zoom for Thirsty Thursdays or whatever y'all are doing over there. It's hard for everybody talking once on these things.
It is difficult, and there's a lot of interruptions, and it just doesn't go accordingly.
Technology eats you up, too.
So you're not drinking cervezas during these meetings, but my buddies are, so that adds to the difficulty. I'm not, because it's during the week, but that adds to the difficulty. Mm-hmm. All right, 877-377-6963, the number to call or text in. Go to the phone lines. Haven't heard from this guy in a while. Eddie is in Clarksville. Eddie,
what is up,
Eddie?
Good morning, gentlemen. And good morning to the stand booth. As what do we have, Jimmy? Correct me if I'm wrong. 93 days.
Yes, sir.
93 days to the new beginning of the football program. And I'm excited about it. And I'm sure all the fan bases are excited about college football. When you talk about the pecking order, well, to me, Eddie from Clarksville, it's always on start with Hawk Red. And I'm just excited for this football program. And you just mentioned Kendall Brown. What's the dynamic of this offense going to look like? I mean, maybe with a gunslinger of a quarterback and some of these young talented receivers that we have. I mean, and we got a coach. Let me say, I've seen Coach Pittman on the news the other afternoon, and he knows, you can tell he's a player. A coach's player. He cares about his players, as he went to support some of his players during the rally in Fayetteville. I mean, so you're talking about buy-in. And so a coach that cares, that's got to mean something. And so, unlike the last coach, And I just like to see 93 days in the fan base stay aboard the Hall Train. It's fixing to get kicked off. But when you talk about being excited, and I'm talking about this year, you're talking about your football's going to be better. And what a dynamic class. When you talk about the must, get aboard the bus. What's the chances that Isaiah Joe comes back? And I seen him on the pick trail the other day. And, I mean, look like he's bucked up, putting on some muscle. Then you add stars like K.K. Robinson, Moses Moody, and the big white centers will be playing this year. I mean, you're talking about this guy's a recruiter. And I see our basketball program. You're talking about with Nolan would jump aboard the must-bus. And then what's this baseball program going to look like? I mean, it's going to be loaded. And so for this part of that site, the Razorback Hog Nation, thank you for taking my call.
Eddie, appreciate you calling in, man. I'm glad you said...
Can you say Big White Center right now?
I think you can.
Is that allowed?
I hope so. Well,
he said it.
Well, I think that's okay. So I'm glad he said white instead of something else. So really don't need that this morning. But yeah, I think the excitement level, like Eddie was talking about, is true. I mean, you think about the basketball team. I haven't been this excited about Arkansas basketball in quite some time. You think about what this team's outlook would look like if Isaiah Joe decided, you know what, I'm going to come back to campus for my junior year. You think about the aspect of if K.K. Robinson, Jalen Williams, Devontae Davis, and Moses Moody, if they translate. Now, I'm not asking them to be freshman All-Americans, but if one of them plays to the caliber of that, or if they're showing out every single game or most games, then you're excited about that with the guys that you already have on your roster, especially the ones, as he mentioned, the big white center, Connor Vanover, that will be eligible to play. So excited about Arkansas basketball. Football perspective, you're excited about a new regime under Sam Pittman. Got some good offensive and defensive coaches that seem that he's assembled, and then just a new outlook for the program. And as always, you're excited about Arkansas basketball. Back to the Sam Pittman stuff. So he was talking about also an individual player, and that's Rakeem Boyd. You think about the offseason. Now, this is the poll question I put out. Was Rakeem Boyd coming back the most exciting news for Arkansas football fans this offseason? I don't know if there's better news. Now, some would say, firing Chad Morris was. Well, that didn't happen in the offseason. It happened during the season. I think Rakeem Boyd deciding, hey, I'm going to come back, was a pretty big deal. And there's been a lot of speculation, hey, why did he come back? Was it Kendall Briles? Was it Sam Pittman? What was the reasoning behind him coming back? Sam Pittman discussed that a little bit yesterday.
When you have those discussions with kids that are debating whether to leave or not, the number one thing is you have to find out their NFL eval. You know, you have to find out what their worth is in the National Football League. And we had a conversation about that. And then at that point, you kind of have you have to let them know how much you'd like to have them back. We found out about things that he needs to work on to improve for his value to go up. Because if value is not going to go up, he should have went out. And so we basically talked to him about how we can help him increase his value. And I don't ever believe that he really wanted to leave the football program. You know, certainly him coming back, he had a great offseason. It's going to help our football team, obviously.
Two of the things that Sam Pittman said that Rakeem does need to improve on is pass protection and improving catching out of the backfield, which I think they're going to put him in situations where he can improve upon those deficiencies. And to his last point that he made, I've been told that Rakeem likes being on campus and stop traffic, but there's some guys that actually like going to school and being a football player, unbeknownst to so many different writers. It's like, I can't believe these guys would rather stay, or I can't believe they came back. Tommy, some guys just like being in college. He's like Mason Jones this past year, he is a big dog on campus. When he walks into a classroom, when he walks into a restaurant, when he walks into a bar, 90-something percent of the people know who he is. That's actually kind of nice when you think about it, unless you're just like insanely shy or something.
You know, but does that put money in the bank? I mean, it's great to be noticed.
It's not
great
the prohibitive favorite, but...
Right. I mean, it's nice in the moment, but there's not a long-term play there. I mean, I think every... You hate to paint with a broad brush, but there's a lot of young people in this millennial generation that They'd rather be famous than wealthy. I mean, I just don't understand it. You know, and sometimes the two to go together, but oftentimes they don't. You know, is it more important to be known or is it, you know, I don't know. But when you have a skill and you got an ability, you want to maximize what that value is for you. And that's always the hard part, is to figure out where to jump off the college train and get on the professional train. That's a difficult choice. Some people, I mean, this is what's hard, I think, for a lot of people to believe, Ty. Some people actually value education. And I think that's the thing that no one can reconcile. Why would you even worry about class and degree and all this stuff if you can go to the NFL and make this money? Some people actually put a value on having a college degree. Maybe they're the first in their family. Maybe their parents graduated college and they're educators and it's important to them. Everyone values that aspect differently. And I think we discount that far too often in the conversation about whether a player should stay or go. Well, they can always come back. Well, sometimes going up there and finishing your degree in 4 years or less is of a highest priority to some of these guys, regardless of their earning potential in a sport. And we just set that aside as that can't be. Well, it is a reality with some of these people.
You've seen some basketball recruits lately, including Israel, Izzy Silva, that have chosen Stanford. And you're like, Stanford basketball? Why are they going to Stanford? Well, there's a couple guys that are like, because I want a really good education.
Mm-hmm.
And they're insanely good basketball players. And sometimes, like you're talking about, the education side of college is kind of overlooked because of the sports side. When you think about sports athletes, now the majority of them are just going to go somewhere to play a sport and then get their education second. But there's some that are like, well, I care about this a lot more than you think. And so that needs to be valued a little more when making a college decision. And when it comes to that, Arkansas, again, I've talked about the bit. I was in the business school for half a semester, but Arkansas's business school has so many different connections. Everyone likes to make fun of Arkansas out of the country. Well, you're not making fun of Arkansas's business school, Sam Walton College of Business. Arkansas's, again, their graduation rate when I was in the school, the number one public school in job placement for graduate school in the country. Number one.
Think that's a recruiting statement?
I think that's, I mean, that's as good as it gets. And I know,
I mean, not just for athletics, but for the college.
Yeah, and I know that for my school, the Lemke School of Journalism, and Professor Foley and everyone involved there, they do a tremendous job. Now, the accolades, the stuff rolling in when it comes to just the awards and stuff they get isn't as recognizable, but like, we have like, T.J. Holmes is a U of A guy that went to, and that's at ABC.
They'll say, who's the most famous Arkansas journalism graduate?
Probably T.J. Yeah, because Bobby didn't go. Bobby went to Henderson State. Probably T.J. Holmes. And yeah. I'm trying to think. It's Samantha Marks works with the Golf Channel. Samantha Jones was just doing CBS. I mean, there's probably some I'm missing. But, I mean, we've got, like, the U of A has a lot to offer in terms of the educational side. Business is probably the most recognized, but across the, I mean,
but it's not Syracuse or Missouri when it comes to journalism either.
I'm not,
just like Arkansas is not Vanderbilt or Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, if you're a parent and you want your kid wants to be a doctor or some, how would you not go to Vanderbilt if given the opportunity, or to go to Stanford, or go to somewhere that's higher? I mean, I think we just set that aside a lot of times and don't even consider the value of education, what it means to athletes and their families. Not everyone, and maybe not even a majority, but there is a good percentage that is of value.
And it depends on the career path you talked about. Like Vanderbilt Med is like being in Nashville.
The law.
I know how like good that is. And Vanderbilt Law is very prestigious as well. Business side, I mean, now I'm not talking about you'd have the same looks if you went to Harvard Business or some of the Ivy Leagues, but Arkansas Business School, like, there's a lot of respect there. And again, I can't speak to some of the other majors and some of the other departments, but I know that they garner respect, maybe not the exact same similar type of respect, but respect as well. When it comes to players being back, or actually, let's go to the phone lines real quick before we hit on this. Rod is on I-40. Rod, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. I'll take the money any day of the week. I'll be honest with you right there. I don't like the fame. I never sought it. My ex one time told me, you're just nobody. I said, yes, but I'm really good at it. the football, the shortened football training cycle, they're going to have to get back to basics because there's just too many high school mistakes made last year by a freaking college team, so they're going to have to get these guys to really walk before they can run, and maybe they can simplify the playbook a little bit. You know, good basics would have made up for at least two wins last year. Like not letting them run away with the ball and you know, let them catch it and go, oh, that's not legal. They run right by them. Oh, it's a touchdown. That's great. So, just good basics. You know, they're not going to have no time to really work with these guys, you know, at all.
No, Rod, you're exactly right. I appreciate the call this morning as we continue on. If you want to hop in on the conversation, we're going to be talking a lot of Sam Pittman this morning, 877-377-6963. Now, before the season began and before everything hit with COVID-19 and that just transpired, Kendall Briles was asked about like them knowing the offense, and he's like, well, we better know the whole offense. Now it's going to be a situation like you can't expect these kids to come in first year, not even a full season under their belt of learning, and expect them to know the full offense. So the playbook on both the offensive side and the defensive side, I would think, would be condensed.
Right. So what is the full offense is the question. How much of what you ultimately want to become and be is not going to be even taught in year one?
It's a great question. It's a question for Kendall Briles and that staff. So, but that's, I mean,
here's what they better find out, Ty. What are you good at? What can you do? When it's third and four, what can get you 4.5? You know, when it's fourth and 10 and your back's to the wall in the fourth quarter and you got to move the chains, what pass play can you call that you can get 11? And they better figure out pretty quick, here's what we're pretty good at. Here's what we can block up. Here's what we can execute consistently. And those are the plays you're going to have to lean on. It may be a short list of plays that you can count on this year.
And then also on that note, Tommy, we spoke to the idea of Treylon Burks, Trey Knox, Mike Woods, and some of the other weapons that Arkansas had last year that Chad Morris did not do a good job of using those guys, whether it's throughout the entire game or in special red zone situations or whatever. You hope that Kendall Briles, even on a shortened schedule, even though that everything going on right now is really helping the development of his offense, you hope even in year one, even in a shortened year one, that he can be better about using his weapons and taking advantage of certain matchups in certain situations.
Oh, and I think you just got more experience and common sense in the leadership coaching roles this year. I don't think some of those things will be overlooked like they were last year. I mean, that's why there's a change. That's why there's a new staff. So,
former Arkansas Razorback assistant and now head coach at East Central University, Chris Crutchfield, now joins us. Coach, good morning. Thanks for making some time for us. I remember my dad coached me in basketball from the kindergarten through the sixth grade. There were some good times. There were some bad. But when you think about the opportunity to coach your sons, Josh and Jalen, how exciting is that to do at the college level?
Good morning, Ty and Tommy. Thanks for having me on. You know what? This is something that we really never talked about and never even imagined having an opportunity to do. And then it came about, and we're elated, we're excited. And really, I wanted to make sure that the kids was okay with it because they all had their respective scholarships. They had their location. They had their thing going at a different place. And I wanted to make sure it was okay with them before we even had an opportunity to do it. So I'm excited, guys, and I'm sure I'm going to be picking up the phone and talking to a lot of people who've been in this situation, who coached their kids, and I'm probably sure I'm going to read a couple of books on it here in the next month or so.
Coach, you've had a chance to learn under some really good head coaches, Eric Musselman, your previous job, Lon Kruger, and some others. Of those two guys, what were some of the big takeaways that you learned that getting back into head coaching?
I tell you what, Eric is really, really detail-oriented. He covers a lot of things. He leaves nothing unturned as far as going into a game and a game preparation, from the jump ball alignment to the way you sit on the bench. He's very detail-oriented. I picked up some things from him just in game prep. His energy, his passion, And, of course, his social media presence, which is unlike no other program in the country. And also with Lon. Lon is a really smart X's and O's person. He can look at a defense and figure out how to counter it. He can look at an offense and figure out how to beat it. And he's really a smart basketball player. So I had an opportunity to spend 8 years with him and just pick his brain about the X's and O's of basketball and just how to run a program and how to run it the right way and how to treat your kids. And I've been truly, truly blessed, Ty and Tommy.
So you were in from day one with Coach Musselman. You saw how to transform, change, lay the foundation for a program in the first year, the way Eric Musselman has done it. What will you take away from that when you're trying to lay your own foundation in Ada, Oklahoma at a Division II level?
I think, first of all, you have to get buy-in from your kids, from the players. They have to understand exactly where you're at. Then you have to meet them where they're at. Then you guys have to join forces. So the buy-in is big. In those first 2 to 3 months, once you can get everybody swimming the same direction, that's the first key to taking over a new program. I'm going into a place that was winning, and they had some culture, and they had some things going for them. So it won't be as hard as to change a culture to get them to think about winning. My job now going into East Central is going to be just to elevate the program and get to a point where we're competing for conference championships every year and even hopefully for a national championship at the Division II level. So every situation is different. I mean, going into Oklahoma, we had a program that had won 14 or 15 games in the previous 2 years. So we had to make a major, major drastic culture change. Coming into here with Eric, it wasn't as drastic just because the previous team had won 18 games. Mm-hmm. But we also had to make sure we do some things differently and getting guys to understand the purpose, the work ethic, and that kind of thing. So I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm ready to be a head coach again, and even more excited about having the opportunity to coach my boys.
Is that the allure, is the coaching the Suns of being a head coach? Because leaving after the first year and honestly taking a sizable pay cut, a step down in divisions, to some people on the outside looking in, they don't understand how, or they wouldn't personally make that decision. Walk us through your thought process and the timing of it right now, because I'm sure you can understand from fans on the outside looking in, trying to figure out why you would leave Arkansas to go to a Division II school and take a sizable pay cut to do it.
And the main reason, Todd, Tommy, is the opportunity to be around my kids. And I'll tell you guys this. A lot of people don't understand what this job is like at this level, at the highest level. And you're recruiting all the time. You're on the road all the time. If not, you're on your phone all the time. So I think over the years, I've missed a lot of my kids' sports. I missed a lot of opportunities to see them do things that most kids have their dad at games or out in the backyard being able to shoot with them. And I haven't had a chance to do that in about, 10 or 12 years. And I missed that. And having my kids home during the pandemic and getting a chance to spend a lot more time with them because they was both in college and they both had to come back. And I realized how much time that I had missed and that I'm missing. And they're growing up right in front of my face. And, that's the thing that just hit me right in my heart and say, you know what? You need to take advantage of an opportunity like this and get a chance to spend and reconnect and get back that family time and get back a better work-life balance. Yeah. And that was the major, major reason why I wanted to do this.
You only get one chance to be a dad, don't you?
You got that right. You got that right. You can make more money later on in life, I guess.
Hey, I can respect that.
Chris Crutchfield, head coach at East Central University, former Razorback assistant with us here on the Morning Rush. Coach, you've made a lot of headway across college basketball in your recruiting, and you were actually, according to The Athletic, one of the top 30 up-and-coming coaches in college basketball. What do you think has made you such a successful recruiter at the collegiate level?
I would just like to say that I'm just a people's person. I'm a person who's very genuine. I'm very sincere when I speak to you or try to sell a university or try to sell myself or sell my head coach. I'm just going to be, as the kids say, 100 with you as much as I can, because I think that's what people want. People want honesty. People want to be around people that have integrity, that have great character. And I just try to do that and treat people right. And it's benefited me in building relationships with different families across the country. And hopefully it's benefited every university that I've been at. And that's it. And no secret to it other than just trying to, you know, treat people right and be honest and be upfront. And then you got to work hard at it. Just work hard at it. And as you know, if you're working hard as a coach and you spend a lot of time doing that, you're probably not balanced out as much as you need to be. So hopefully this will give me the opportunity going down a level and get a chance to balance this out.
And Coach, on the note, in recruiting, you were instrumental of getting Trae Young to go to Oklahoma. I've read a couple stories on your relationship with Buddy Hield, his youth coach, and how you were on him early, getting him to also be a Sooner. When you look back at that process, what went through it with getting one of the two of the best college players in the last decade up to Norman, and Trae Young and Buddy Hield?
And both situations started really early, and you have to have an eye for being able to project where you think guys are going to be. I saw Buddy when he was 14 years old, a little skinny kid in the Bahamas. You know, didn't know, but he had something about him, something just stood out. Didn't know he was going to be what he is today at all, but he had something that drew me to him. And I started the process early. The same with Trae. As soon as I moved to Norman, I mean, Trae was an eighth grader. My son was a seventh grader. I'm watching the seventh grade game and watching the eighth grade game, and he was getting 30 points in two quarters. And I knew he was going to be special, too. I just, you know, so I said, hey, just let's jump in here and start working and start building relationships. And each one of them was different in their own way, just because Buddy was in a different country and Trae was right there in my backyard. So it was all about building relationships, all about getting them to understand we both on the same page here. Let's work and put our passions together and build a relationship. And it really worked out. And I've been fortunate to coach to not just special basketball players, Tommy and Ty, really, really good people and great kids, and they're going to end up being great husbands and great fathers.
Chris Crutchfield is with us here on the Morning Rush. He's been at the University of Arkansas for the past season with Eric Musselman. He's now the head coach at East Central University in Ada. You mentioned the work demands, always on your phone, always recruiting. If it's not that, you're at practice. Walk us through what a typical day is for one of the top assistants in an SEC program. What is your day like? Because I don't think the average person understands the demands. And from what I'm hearing from you, you're trying to get the work-life balance. Help us understand why that balance is needed, because it's so imbalanced right now with the demands of the job.
Yeah, no doubt. Not just for me, for everybody around the country, just because it's so competitive and you're trying to keep up with everybody else around the country. So you constantly don't want a minute or a second to go by where you're not trying to have an impact or influence someone's decision. So, I mean, it's a 24, 16-hour job just because you get up in the morning. I mean, you probably got 3 or 4 emails and 10 texts that came through overnight that you got to give back to people. And, I mean, you're starting right on my drive into the office at 7:45 in the morning. I'm on the phone calling someone, whether it be an AAU coach, a parent, texting a kid, and that cycle starts the whole time on the phone. When you walk in the office, I'm on the phone. Then, of course, there's a staff meeting. We're meeting about the day, the practice, what we're going to do. Then you go back to your office and working on the game. Not to mention, if you had a game prep of the upcoming opponent, you're watching film, you're trying to get the team ready for that. also, then you go into the practice floor, you get out the practice floor, you hopefully you got time to squeeze in a 30 to 45 minute workout. You may not, depending on what's happening. Then you're back on the phone recruiting, and then you're recruiting all the way up until, you know, the evening time. And this is the thing that people don't understand. I might make 25 to 30 calls during the day. I don't reach all those people. So as I'm walking in the door at 7 o'clock or 6:30, you know, trying to get ready to eat dinner with my family, of course, those people that I missed, they're calling me back.
Mm. Well, and I don't know if your house is anything like mine. I'm sure it is that when your phone's ringing and you're having to look at your phone and an important family moment like the dinner table or a discussion, and then you're reaching because it's an important work call. Now, all of a sudden, Mama Bear ain't very happy either about your phone activity.
And that's it. And you're walking in on the phone, and then when it rings, you say, hey, honey, I got to take this call.
This is really important.
I missed this guy today. He's got to, man, I got to take this call. This guy's 16 is going to be a pro. I got to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always recruiting now, the wife to understand why the need for that phone call is got to be done now. You know?
No doubt. And then you're on the phone for 45 minutes, your dinner is cold, and you go back to the table, everybody's looking at you like,
oh, they're mad.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So then that cycle continues up until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So I just say, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to bed. I'm going to try to have some normalcy. So that's the day. That's the day, and that's the typical day of most college coaches at this level.
Coach Chris Crossfield with us here on the Morning Rush. Coach, on the note of recruiting, you're playing in the conference you're entering, you're playing a lot of Arkansas schools. How much?
Exactly.
And you're not too far. You're about 2.5 from where we are here in Fort Smith. How much time do you think you'll be spending, since you know the area well, since you've been here the past year, how much time do you think you'll be spending recruiting high school basketball players in the state of Arkansas?
Oh, I think I'm going to do it a lot. I'm a lot, because this is what I've learned. And I always knew this, and I know it now for sure. There's really good players in Arkansas. Very underrated guys that don't get the attention, don't get the publicity that they need. And a lot of them do fall into that Division II category. A lot of them are trying to go to prep school to elevate their recruitment. I do know that. But there's a bunch of good players in Arkansas, and I'm going to try to tap into and get a couple. And hopefully help us produce a winning program at East Central.
Yeah.
But no, Arkansas is a very talented, very, very talented state, man. A lot of people just don't know how talented it is.
Coach, on that note, we've talked to a couple recruiting people on this show, but I want to get your perspective as a head coach now. So with Moses Moody and KK Robinson, guys that you had something to do with them coming to Arkansas, they chose a path where they went to a high school preparatory and they left Arkansas. Moses won a state championship. KK stood out at both, and he won a state championship at Episcopal as well. And they went the prep route. And both of them said that it really helped them in their development of the game. Do you see not only inside the state of Arkansas, but other top high school kids at just regular, normal high schools venturing out more and going to more prep schools if we continue to see success with other guys doing that?
I don't think it's going to be a thing that's going to happen like that. I think every case is different. I know Moses' case was different. He wanted to be challenged and push more and feel like he was going to get that at North Little Rock or in the state. Because he had higher expectations. KK was similar. KK wasn't getting recruited at this level until he left to go to Oak Hill. And I think every kid, every family situation, their dynamics are all different. Some guys are want to compete at a higher level. Some guys are want to elevate their recruitment. And some guys probably going for academic reasons. I mean, everybody's case is different. I don't think kids are just going to be flooding out of the state of Arkansas just to go to prep school because some previous people have done it. But I can see one or two guys doing that just because they want a bigger challenge.
What's your level of familiarity with the Great American Conference and with Division II basketball?
Oh, I know. I watch about a lot of basketball. I watch a lot of basketball. So being in both states in the last, 9 years, so I've had a chance to watch it. I'm very familiar with a lot of those coaches, a lot of them are my friends, people that I know that I see on the recruiting trail. So very, very familiar with Southern Nazarene, very familiar with Oklahoma Baptist. And, you know, Terry Evans and I over at Southwest Oklahoma are friends. You know, he's a former OU player. I know most of the guys at the Arkansas schools at Henderson State, and very good friends with Dennis Nutt at Ouachita. So, I mean, I know the league. I know the league. Very familiar with it. It's a really good league. People don't realize there's a bunch of Division I players playing in Division II in this league. So you're going to have to get prepared, and it's a very competitive league.
Yeah, better get prepared for some long bus rides, too. Yeah.
You know what? And I'm looking forward to that. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it.
Good family bonding, Tom. Coach, yeah. We'll top off the interview with this.
Sure.
I remember watching Buddy Hield on the road, Allen Fieldhouse against Kansas. I think he went for 48. Triple OT game. And what's crazy about that game to me is he does the post-game interview with, I think, Britton Musburger's on the call. Kansas fans stayed towards the end of that interview, stayed till after he's done the interview and stood up and were clapping after the game. One of the best individual performances I've ever seen. Where does that rank for your basketball memory on individual performances that you've ever seen one of your players?
Well, it's probably the best. And it's not because of the numbers, because Trae Young has had bigger numbers and did it in a different way. But the way Buddy did it, In a place like Allen Fieldhouse, made it stand out as being the best, because it was one of those nip and tuck games the whole way through. No one had bigger than a probably 6-point lead throughout the whole game. We was number one in the country. They was number two in the country in either polls. And coming into the game, no one gave us a chance. And the real number one stand up, I remember Brent Musburger stand up, and Buddy stood up. And he wanted to win that game so bad. His will, his determination was off the charts. So he just kept making big shots every time we needed him for those last 15 minutes of overtime. I mean, every 5-minute overtime, he did something special, did something different. And that right there elevated his status with those fans. And those fans appreciate basketball. They know good basketball when they see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for them to stay around and give him a standing ovation and cheer him on, that was really, really special. You get validated when that happened.
Yeah, it was incredible. Head coach of East Central University, former Razorback assistant Chris Crutchfield. Coach, appreciate you carving out some time for us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ty, Tommy. You guys have a good rest of the day.
The toughest questions.
What is going on?
The easiest answers.
Trivia! Trivia!
Pick your category.
Light on medical knowledge, heavy on Broadway trivia.
Ty or Tommy.
Fight!
It's time for Trivia Thursday.
All right, Tommy. Yeah. That's food trivia. It's
fast
food.
We can do food.
We can do sports. That's about all we can do in this program.
This is a good category for us to venture off into. I'm not sure who has the edge here.
I don't either.
Ooh.
So you're older. So, I guess...
What does that mean?
You have more knowledge? I don't know.
Well, we already knew that, so...
I just want to know
depends
how...
on the subject.
I just want to know how he eats so much and he doesn't look like me.
Because he's 25.
I'm 27.
I guess...
I don't have an answer for that.
I don't either.
Good genes. I say that. I'm about to probably get diabetes because my dad had diabetes, so...
You don't want any of that.
No. All right, gentlemen, sit up high in your chairs. Miss Jenkins' class is in session. Here we go. What chains? Default fries are curly.
Arby's.
Arby's is correct.
Guys, drink water. I need to not do that when I'm doing it because I want to.
Arby's. You go to Arby's, you got to ask for the regular fries. You get curlies if you don't.
Yeah, if you go to Arby's and you don't get curly fries, you're a bum.
Don't go to Arby's very often. It's probably the closest fast food to my house. Just a hard left turn to get in there.
Yeah.
Which of these chains has baked potatoes on their permanent menu?
Wendy's.
Wendy's is correct.
I was going Wendy's, but I'll... Yeah. That's the one I remember. They had the potato bar. The original potato bar was in Wendy's. Yeah.
By the way, most of the, I meant to say this at the beginning, some of the, these questions are courtesy of BuzzFeed and the Pioneer Woman.
Pioneer Woman, all right.
Pioneer Woman. So
my wife wants to drive over there.
So if you don't like any of the questions, you can blame her or blame BuzzFeed.
All right.
Which fried chicken chain is also known for its seafood?
Popeyes.
Popeyes is correct. Ty, did you pick this category?
I was going to say Long John Silver's. 2-1.
Just making sure.
Long John Silver's is good. Little crumbs in the bottom of the box.
I've never ate Long John Silver's before.
What?
Well, the one back home I've heard horror stories about, and I was scared to go in.
It's not good for you, but it's delicious.
Which fast food chain signature burger is called the Big Buford?
That would be Rally's.
That would be Rally's. That is correct.
I forgot that you would travel all for reps, and the only place you could stop and eat is at a... I'm getting obliterated.
Oh, man. All right.
You and my dad. Next. You and my dad, who's a pharmaceutical rep, could probably compete in this. I forget that I stay at home when I work.
This is a good one for you, Tom. Which of these four chains has been around the longest? Burger King, Taco Bell, Subway, or Dunkin' Donuts? Which has been around the longest?
I'll let you go first.
Dunkin' Donuts.
That is correct.
Oh.
Do you know what year they came about?
Oh, 1958.
1950.
Ah, 19 what?
1950.
Right. Got in the decade. Better than I would have known.
Any guesses on Burger King?
No. 71?
53.
59? I don't know.
Okay. Taco Bell in 62 and Subway in 65.
Mm-hmm. Subway in 65.
That's what they said.
Huh. I didn't really know Subways until, the 90s? They really became a thing in the 90s. Late 80s.
What chain would you have to go to if you wanted to get two crunchy tacos, onion rings, and an Oreo milkshake? Box. What'd you say?
Jack in the Box.
That is correct. Mm. You're making the comeback.
Slowly but surely.
4-2 in favor of the Boss Man. What chain signature burger is called a butter burger?
A.W.
Culver's.
Culver's is correct.
Culver's. One in Branson up there. Second
exit.
It's not on the strip. I don't know. I've never eaten at Culver's.
That's Fuddruckers. Never mind.
My grandpa, who's in heaven right now, is.
But they're known for their. It's on their sign. The home of the butter burger, Culver's. I think they have frozen custard too.
I don't think you can curse in heaven, but my grandpa who took me to Culver's so many times.
It's highly frowned upon if you do.
Well, I don't think you legitimately can, but my grandpa who took me to Culver's, I don't know how many times, if he would be doing that right now.
This is looking great. Down on me. You did good picking this category.
Yeah.
By the way, who picked the category?
I did. It's 5-2, right?
5-2, yes. You're down 5-2. You got this. Hey, wrong question. 8 of 20. You got this, brother. What chain would you have to go to if you wanted a burger or chicken sandwich on Texas toast?
Zaxby's.
That is incorrect.
No, they don't do burgers.
Hardee's, Quaker Steak and Lube, Whataburger, or Crystal?
Whataburger.
That is correct.
That's the easy one. I had a chicken sandwich at Zaxby's about a month ago. That's what made me think.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Which of these ice cream chains has been around the longest? Which of these ice cream chains has been around the longest? I'm going to mispronounce this, but Häagen-Dazs?
Yeah, they are the best.
Okay. Baskin-Robbins, Ben & Jerry's, or Cold Stone Creamery? Which has been around the longest?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say Baskin-Robbins.
You are correct in saying Baskin-Robbins.
That's the one that was there. 31 flavors.
Yep.
It's my stepmom's favorite. She loves Baskin-Robbins.
They actually put one in the fourth a year or so ago over by Gasano's. Mm-hmm.
What is the signature burger of Burger King?
The Whopper.
Same time.
I will give you both a point for that one. See.
That's an easy one.
No, well, I tried to do that for Ty because I knew he'd probably be behind at that point. But y'all tied, so. Where's the beef?
Wendy's.
That is correct.
You remember that old lady in the commercials? Where's the beef? One of the best fast food TV campaigns ever.
Getting just
way too.
You're down 8-4, Todd.
In the early mid 80s. Where's the beef?
Which of the following is not a side at KFC? Is it coleslaw, mac and cheese, green beans, or curly fries?
Curly fries. I'll give it to him.
Yeah. All right.
That one I did say first. The Whopper, we said the same thing. That one I said first.
8-5. We are down to question 13 of 20. What fast food restaurant?
By the way, the coleslaw at KFC, good or no good?
Never tried it.
I don't like coleslaw.
You don't like coleslaw? All right.
What fast food restaurant has an anthropomorphic dog, chili dog, which that word means having human characteristics. So let me rephrase this. What fast food restaurant has a chili dog that has Sonic. Human characteristics as its mascot?
Sonic.
Is it Shake Shack, Pink's Hot Dogs, Wiener Schnitzel, or Dreamy Weenies?
Wiener Schnitzel.
That is correct.
How does that happen? Like, you guys colluded on this. I don't.
Colluded? I didn't even know the topic.
Collusion.
I didn't even know the topic till 5 minutes ago.
Calling for collusion.
9-5.
Gah.
As you said the other day.
You still got You still got Tom.
God.
Which of the following has never been on the McDonald's menu? The McRib, the McLobster, the McPork Chop, or the McGriddle?
I'm going to go McLobster.
McLobster is incorrect.
Okay, McPork Chop.
McPork Chop is correct.
I thought they probably had a pork chop biscuit at some point.
I've seen McLobster. I don't know if it was the United States, but I've seen that.
That has to be an international.
What chain popularized the stuffed crust pizza?
Pizza.
That is correct.
Come on.
Let's see. 9-2, 9-5, 6, 9-7. Right, 5-6. Yeah, 7. What was Fred the Baker's famous line in the classic Dunkin' Donuts commercial?
Time to make the donuts.
That is correct.
You could have given me.
You're down three, Ty. You're down three. You got to get these last one. Let's see. We got four questions left. You got this, boy. Got
to hit four.
You
straight,
got this.
Four straight.
It's
to
fourth
win.
Quarter.
Three to lose two because you get one.
Your girl off the Bachelor is watching right now, and she needs you.
All right.
What was her? I've just blanked on her name.
Madison.
Madison. Yeah. Thought it was like Haley or something. What fast food restaurant is credited with introducing the first modern day drive-through window? Is it Wendy's, McDonald's, Sonic, or Burger King?
You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
You want me guess first?
Well, yeah, Ty, you're down three, so you need to get these.
I'll let Tommy go first.
Wendy's.
No. Wendy's is correct.
Oh, I would have said McDonald's. So I would have gotten it wrong anyway. Jeez Louise.
Three more. I think Boss Man's got this pretty much in the bag, but we'll have fun with it. How many herbs and spices make
11.
Okay.
What is that? What is that in reference to?
How many herbs and spices make up the secret blend used on the Colonel Harlan Sanders famous chicken?
11.
The original KFC recipe.
Jeez.
What fast food restaurant was literally founded in a broom closet? Dairy Queen, Papa John's, Subway, or McDonald's?
Papa John's.
Papa John's is correct.
In the back of his dad's bar. That's how he founded his business.
That's kind
of
cool.
Last one, what fast food restaurant was first envisioned during a figure skating competition?
What
fast food restaurant was first envisioned during a figure skating competition? Buffalo Wild Wings, Raising Cane's, Brahms, or Blimpies?
I'm not familiar with Blimpies.
I just know it has like a Goodyear blimp type of logo.
Yeah. I'm going to guess Raisin Cane's.
That is incorrect.
It's Todd, not Todd Graves, but something guy. Say them, Blimpies, Raisin Cane's.
Buffalo Wild Wings, Raisin Cane's, Brahms, or Blimpies?
Brahms?
That is incorrect. Apparently, it is Buffalo Wild Wings.
Wow.
It says they were co-founded in 1982 by Jim Disbro, Scott Lowry, and Bernard Spencer, who came up with the idea one weekend when they were judging an amateur figure skating competition at Ivy Tech. The more you know. That? Boss Man, you wax the floor on the youngster.
Thank you.
I'll give you some credit where credit's due. That was
13-7.
That was an abysmal showing on my part. I promise I'll be better next week.
Wow. Now, Tommy, what are you going to do to rebound now?
I don't know. I thought fast food, but I forget that you travel so much that you stop at virtually
There's a lot of marketing questions in there.
Is not
student of the game, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's my forte. I did get a C in business law. Does that count? Oh, sure you got
it. You got a C minus on this exercise right here.
Yeah, that was a very underwhelming performance on my part. Hopefully I'll respond next week.
Instead of giving credit to the victor, he's just, you know, downplaying his own performance. Instead of giving him respect to the opponent.
We could do LeBron trivia next week for him.
That's what winners do. You didn't win, I just lost. That's what winners do.
All right.
No, you did. You did show off. I got creamed, and that's impartial to credit to you, and just a dissatisfying performance for me. You can find our podcast.
I love herbs and spices. You've never heard of that?
I've heard it. It just took me long.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.